Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rancho Murrieta Community Services District regularly monthly security committee meeting. The dates change, so it kind of makes it a special meeting. And I do appreciate staff accommodating the director to meet today's meeting schedule. That calls us to order. Item number two. Consider finding that the results of the COVID-19 emergency meeting in person would present imminent risk. We are opting to do the Zoom, and this is authorized pursuant to government code. So with that said, I'm going to move on to item number three. Amelia, do you have any hands or questions or anything?
I don't have any hands or questions, and you do want to have the meeting on Zoom.
I would like to.
Okay. I would too. Okay. I'm here.
Okay.
No hands, no chats.
Okay. Thank you. Let's move right into number four, which is security monthly updates. And I believe that'll go over to Kelly.
Hello, here. Can you hear me?
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Good, good. Okay. Getting right into it. RCSD, we continue to, hang on.
Do we need to say silence all cell phones? I'm going to do mine now. Thanks.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. We continue. We have almost a full compliance of gate officers. We just hired a full-time officer from our own CSD. He's transferring over from the utility side. And he'll start on Monday. So we're excited about that. That was our last full-time position on the gates. And we currently have a part-time position person. He's passed his background and he's waiting on the results of his medical results. And then once he's hired or once he starts, then we'll have all of our gate officers' positions filled. And we're just working on one additional patrol. We continue to use ABA to help with our shortage of staff. So far we have 0 hours that were uncovered by patrol in the month of January, since implementing the 980. So hopefully that trend continues. ABA software, project, they are still working. They were out, the CPAC was out last week doing their final preparations. They're working with the team in Florida. And once the team in Florida works out all the bugs, they expect to go live hopefully next week, end of next week, and we'll have that upgrade completed. As far as our Toyota pickup truck, it is on patrol. However, we are still waiting for parts for the PA system and the lights, the amber lights that go on top. There's a shortage supply problem, but it is out there operational and it is being used. We talked about our LIDAR last time, which will be used for nighttime speeding operations. There is unfortunately a 60-week delay with getting that equipment, but once we get the equipment, the representative lives in Reno will come out here and train us all and make sure we're up to speed with the LIDAR gun. Talk about the dog chip reader in our policy. We had a complaint, a lady that lives in the south side. Basically, I think she went on social media and wrote us as well in the office and stated that our gate officers were not aware of the chip reader that was located in the south gate. And this chip reader can read if there's a loose dog. If a neighbor wants to bring the dog to the gate, the neighbor can check out the dog chipper reader and try to identify the owner of the dog. Apparently, it's not used that much. At the time I've been there, I didn't even know we had one. So Tom and I researched it, and Amelia found that we still had that policy in place to use a dog chipper to allow residents to come check it out. So what we did is I called the lady back and told her, yes, we are checking it out to anybody who wants to have it. So we re-posted the policy and made sure all gate officers, all patrol officers, and all ABDA personnel that fill in understand that we do have a dog chipper, and the residents are more than welcome to come check it out. And I want to make sure I address that. Okay.
Kelly, just for my own edification, first of all, thank you. Mm-hmm. We only have one and it's located at the south, correct?
That's correct. We only have one. And then the history on that, I think that security used to do a lot more with animals, and that all stopped a few years ago. But this was a leftover from that era. And I understand the Girl Scouts bought that for CSD or donated it to us for that.
Oh, how cool.
And it was for that reason. So yeah, there is one, and we don't find, at least Tom and I, we don't see any harm in letting the citizens check it out.
I agree wholeheartedly, and you know, we need to refer to it, I think, as the Girl Scouts, just to keep that PR portion going. I guess my question, and I don't need an answer today, obviously, but would it be something that RMA compliance patrol services could get and then take it out if we've got, say, a dog in one of the dog parks, for example? So instead of making a resident come get it, go back out, if we're made aware of, hey, you know, we've got an abandoned dog in the dog park, would we be able to take it out to that area? So just think about it. If it fits our service and what we could do, then we can just incorporate that. And like I said, I would think RMA compliance personnel as well as patrol services, it could be just one more resource for us. But that's just my two cents. So no worries. Continue on, please.
Yeah, Tim, I would support that, and I'll make sure that Kelly and the RMA communicate that. That's not a problem at all.
All right, perfect. Thank you.
I was going to talk about it too. It is in a portable case, and it would be very easy for compliance to come by, pick it up, and yeah, that would be that's the easy thing to do.
So. Perfect. Great. Thank you.
Going to the safety center, the trailer. We are asking for 3 bids. So before we make repairs to our safety center, we've received 2 bids. We are waiting on the 3rd bid before we go forward, but we're getting close, I think, to getting that 3rd bid, and then we'll be able to go forward with repairs. What was a big thing? We attended the coffee with the cop over here at the Local Bean. I hope I said that right. It was Local Bean. It's called Local Bean, coffee shop with the captain of the sheriff's department assigned this area with Captain Yee. And we went out there with the residents, and it was a time for the community to come together with the sheriff's department. Specifically, that area was important because the recent crime increase in the plaza. And so one of the things we are proposing from that coffee with the cop activity is we're trying to get a business watch. It's kind of a neighborhood watch started for that area, and that was very helpful. And when we attended that function, and we look to have more events like that here in Rancho Marietta.
So Kelly, if I could on that, I think that's brilliant for the business watch.
Yes.
I know historically the community watch programs out here have not succeeded.
Oh.
And I think the reason the neighborhood watch programs aren't as successful out here, and again, this is speaking to CSD representatives in the Crime Prevention Bureau over decades. It's just our community is so active and reports issues anyways that getting that formalized process just has not been successful. However, I think the business side of it, there is enough where I think that's where we put our focus. And again, we just haven't been successful inside the gates, right? Inside the compound to have a formalized neighborhood watch. Now, that being said, about the village and the new developments on the other side of Jackson Highway, maybe we just kind of put that somewhere on your to-do list, and we go back to those associations and say, are you folks interested and willing to volunteer? And we can start that process. But just inside Marietta itself, it has not been successful, and mainly because our residents are in tune to what's going on and gets reported either to RMA compliance or to patrol services. So thank you.
So with that, going to the next category, Rancho Marietta Association Activity. Citations, we had several speeding violations or stop sign violations. I think we had an A, so I've asked our forces to pay extra attention to that, because I was at the compliance meeting and I talked to some people, and they said that that's still an issue, people running stop signs and speeding. And so we're going to hopefully put some extra enforcement into the stop sign violations next month or this month. Let's see what else we're going to go down to. I met several times last month with Chris, Matt, and Kevin, the GM for our RMA, and we discussed things as citation improvements. They talked about their ABDI implementation of their golf cart IDs. We talked about security issues, gate procedures. We talked about the pinion poles. And one of the big things we talked about, we also talked about gate bar code procedures, color codes. And we had a good meeting, and hopefully as we continue meeting with them this month, we'll have some direction and guidance when it comes to some of these nuances that come to the gate, such as who can use the golf course. Do golf carts get checked when they come through the gate? Or do we check IDs, sport activities, who's allowed and who's not? So we're really working with them and trying to get some guidance so we can give our gate officers the proper information so it's a smoother transition at the gate. And we are actively working with RMA. One of the things that I talked about I just found out about is that I got a call, and I think we got one of our patrol officers approached that we have a main part of the fence that's down, and people can just walk over next to the Frisbee golf course along Jackson Highway. And I went out there and looked, and I took photographs, and I made Kevin aware of RMA. And I also made him aware that that is on a social media platform that says in their social media, hey, anybody that wants to come in and play Frisbee golf, you can just park along the highway and walk down. There's no fence covering that. So I made him aware of that. I was not aware of that. And so hopefully they'll address that, because with people on social media saying, hey, come on down, the fence is down, anybody can get in, that could be a problematic. So what we're asking our guys to do is to do extra patrol. When they see vehicles parked along Jackson Highway, they'll go down there and try to find them on the Frisbee course or Frisbee golf course and say, hey, if you don't belong here, to leave. So I have our guys doing extra patrol. But yeah, there is a huge part of that fence that's down. And Kevin at RMA said that they are working on it. So that was an issue that we talked about as well just the other day. Well, let's see. I also met with Mike Rayfield, the RMA Community Church. He's the concern with security issues at the Catholic Church and his church next to the airport. And he's requested extra patrol. So I've directed our guys to give extra patrol when the services are starting up, and give extra patrol in the parking lot. He says there's no threat assessment, but just in light with what's going on in the world, he thinks it's a good idea if we have our security forces around there during the time that they show up for church and leave. And we've complied, and he wrote a very nice message back to us saying he appreciated the extra patrol. But I did meet with him for an hour, and I understood all their concerns, and we talked for a long time, and we have a good relationship with them, and I hope
so. Kelly, if I can just expand upon that, you're spot on. He is a pillar in our society on multiple levels, but the resources and background knowledge that man has just working for the Bureau is incredible. Again, keep him in your Rolodex, right. Because that is an asset as we kind of move forward on, and you and I've had this discussion, we're just not there. We've got so many other things to do, but as we look at, is not a hard threat assessment, but as we look at just assessments throughout our community for our infrastructure, again, that's somebody we can pull out of the Rolodex and go, hey, here's what we're thinking. And run it by them and get some very good expertise from that level. So thank you for making that contact.
Yes, and we, like I said, we talked for a good hour, and we talked a lot of tactics, and we talked a lot of his background, my background, and I think we'll have a good working relationship going forward.
Right. Now, if he says he wants to get, you know, the SWAT negotiation team right. level, let's have a conversation. Okay. Right. I'll just leave it at that. Thank you. Right.
Okay, and I'll wait till the next slide. All right, these are quite lengthy, so I'll already talk fast, but I'll go through it. All right, so instance notes quite a bit, January 1st to 31st, and I'll give a little side note as I go through them. We talked about the January 5th, 2000, the vandalism inside of North. CSD security responded to the Yellow Bridge. 6 lift station where pin graffiti was used in the property. The photographs obtained by and SSD was notified. We talked about this last month as possibly related to the Bel Air graffiti and their restroom. I spoke with the parents who we think is involved. The father said that his child wasn't involved. There is no direct evidence. I'll be curious to see if the graffiti has stopped. I haven't heard of any new reports, so hopefully, for whatever reason, it's that particular brand of graffiti and tagging has stopped. January 5th, 2022, the burglary petty theft at the Plaza Center. That's outside the gates. CSD security responded to a shoplift incident at Ace Hardware. The suspects stole 2 window break devices valued at $30. The suspects left the store, proceeded to the Marietta Health Club, and stole a set of keys from the gym floor. The suspect then used the stolen keys and located the victim's vehicle. The suspect removed the victim's credit cards from the vehicle. The suspect then charged $900 at the Costco in Rancho Cordova. The sheriff's department was notified and video footage of the suspect was provided to SSD. And as late as I have, there's been no capture of the suspect. On January 9th, 2022, the burglary occurred at Via Serrano Drive. It's inside North. CSD responded to a burglary investigation. Suspect entered the victim's garage and removed a battery from his RV4 truck. The victim left his garage door unsecured and believes the suspect took advantage of that fact. Sheriff's department was contacted and a report was filed. No camera or additional witnesses could be located. The victim's loss is about $250. And to this day, there's been no lead or suspect from the sheriff's department on that incident. January 5th, 2022, grand theft occurred. Outside Anderson Field, outside the gates. CSD security responded to a report of theft of a metal building sightings. The suspects drove their flatbed truck to the location and removed the sightings and fled the location. The suspect was captured via CSD and victim's video camera equipment. The sheriff's department was notified. The suspects were identified. An arrest warrant was issued. The victim's loss is $5,000. We believe this suspect lives in the North or has a house in the North. He's also been, according to our gate computer system, he's been a contractor working both gates for the last couple of years. It's unknown if he's in custody or where they were. We can't get any more feedback from that. January 7th, 2020. But once again, our cameras and plate reader captured him. And that's what led to his arrest warrant. So, side note.
So Kelly, can I ask you? Mm-hmm. It's kind of a process question. You know, we had the captain from, I guess, East Division for sheriffs out, and as we make those inroads, it would be nice if. And again, I don't need the exact outcomes, but potentially. We track on a spreadsheet, you know, information given to allied agencies, i.e. sheriffs, California High Patrol, and then potentially what the outcomes are. And what I'm looking for, and I'm not sure how to say it, but I guess I'm looking for, we were able to capture X number of incidents through our camera process, and we were able to get to a certain point. Subjects were identified and it was turned over investigation. And I don't need the how it was adjudicated, but it was turned over to allied agencies because we could give ID on the license plate, ID on the camera, something along those lines. So maybe on a quarterly basis, semi-annual, we can, or it might even be in your annual security report that we can capture the exact numbers. Does that make sense what I'm asking?
It's true. And I also thought a little bit further. I was wishing that since we don't get the coverage out here from the Sheriff's Department or CHP because it's so far from them and I realize there's low crime. I wish there was, this is one thing I would like to talk to Catherine about. I wish there was one person on the Sheriff's Department I can just go to for all follow-up for things out here, but it's not working that way. You have to go through the individual section.
Right. So let's do this.
I was hoping we can at least get that, at least one person with all the information that could help us with these follow-ups. I know that's very important. Everybody wants to know what happened. So yeah, I've been thinking about that.
So then let's try and set something up with that captain and maybe the GM level, so that we can kind of formalize that. I think we can leverage some connections that we have with the Sheriff's Department. And again, this isn't a huge ask, don't get me wrong, but again, you know, we're not going to have quote unquote a POP officer assigned to us from the Sheriff's Department, right? So it
can even be a civilian, anybody that can find the report and find out what the current status of it to give us the information so they can bring the board.
Right.
That would be helpful. And I go, I think that should be relatively easy for them to do, but I've been thinking about that. I go, it's just very difficult to get the feedback once we give them that information.
Let's then work on that. Okay. No real timelines, but let's work on that and formalize that and set up that meeting so we can make a formal request. And like I said, I think what we can do is we could probably leverage to get us. And again, even if it's the supervisor of records, I don't care. You're right. I just need this information. I don't need adjudicated all the way through. Just here's where we're at and those type things. So yeah, if you would formalize that, and again, I don't need it. The district doesn't need it by next week, but I think that would help us in closing the loop. And even if we do it on an annual basis, I'm more than okay with that. Also,
it gives us a little bit of closure, which I just
absolutely
want it too. And I find it difficult to get this. And I go, you know, there needs to be something. They can't provide us the extra patrol or be out here. At least a records clerk or something that can go give us the information and redact it if they have to. And
yes. Give all right. Then you're on the right path. Thank you. Continue on, please.
January 7th, 2022, there's a burglary at the backyard restaurant. This is outside the gates. CSD responded to a follow-up investigation, obtained a video footage. The suspects entered via roof and removed a safe and a DVR from the location. The sheriff's responded and completed a report. The victim's loss is about $2,000. This call wasn't reported to us. We found out through another ways and went ahead and did a follow-up investigation and tried to get some video footage. We turned it over. The sheriff's department already recovered it. So we didn't know about this. We had learned about it through other means. On January 23rd, 2022, there's a grand theft of a motor vehicle at the Bel Air grocery store, which is outside the gates. CSD not involved, however, or was it reported to us? The CSP requested video footage from our south gate. That's how we found out. The suspect used their vehicle to steal a trailer with a golf cart attached to the trailer. As at this point, I have no follow-up information if there was an arrest or a suspect was ID'd at this point.
And Kelly, to that point, I do not have an issue as a board member, and I'll move this forward to the rest of the board. But if there's a law enforcement investigation going on and we weren't initially notified, or we were brought in, i.e. our camera system, and that's how we were notified, I'm more than okay with that. Because truly, at the end of the day, it's the victim, in this case, whatever agency it falls to, it's their responsibility to get the investigative agency responsible in the process. Right. So if we're not brought in until, hey, can we look at your camera system? That is more than okay, because the system corrected itself and went through the appropriate immediate channels. And if we can support those allied agencies, then we're fulfilling our obligation to the community and to that victim or victims specifically. I'll forward that, but I don't think it's a negative. No. I think it's actually a positive, because they're asking for our resources as we expand the camera program. And they're educated to it. I think we're going to have more of those demands than we've had in the past.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up, because those are the calls I get all the time is, hey, it's not in your log, we didn't know about it. And I say, a citizen does not have to go through CSD to security to report their crimes. And that happens all the time. If there's domestic violence or some other crime that I want to notify us, they do not have to notify CSD. They can go directly to their CHP or whatever.
Well, truly, at the end of the day, when we have a 911 event, your first call is not to Rancho Marietta Community Service District Security. Right. It is to the 911 center. When you explain what your emergency is, then you're sent to the secondary PSAP center for the appropriate resource allocation to mitigate or handle that emergency incident. So if we're not involved in that process,
right,
that's okay. We just need to make sure that those allied agencies know what our capabilities, specifically our camera system, and how robust we plan on making it, and we become an allied resource. So I'm more than okay with that. Maybe we just need to come up with specific terminology when we talk to either reporters or community members. You know, just here's that chance to do some re-education that we're not a 911 provider. We're not here to mitigate 911 type incidents. We're here to support allied agencies to do that mitigation, stabilization of a 911 incident. So again, if we're that resource for cameras, additional information, I think you're spot on, and that's perfect. So thank you.
Right. And, but at least when I hear these, I know the community wants to know about them. I like to bring them to the board. So we'll get spot on.
Thank you.
Okay. So next one, we're going to go to the vandalism at Stonehouse Park. It's inside the North. The CSD responded to a call of tire marks left on the soccer field. The suspects entered the Stonehouse Park and drove their vehicle on a soccer field and baseball fields and fled the area. There's no camera cameras of the incident. The sheriff's department was notified. January 25th, 2022, there's attempted burglary at the Go 4
I'm sorry, Kelly. I hate interrupting you like this. This will go back, and you answered my question that I asked you about. Can we do WETIP notification to the community on this? So I'll kind of kick it back to the GM. Tom, do you think that this type, and again, you know, there's a price that was put on the damage to Stonehouse and also Riverview for that matter. I don't know if it happened the same day, but similar type incidents, right? Is this something that we want to go back to RMA, formally have a process that they buy into, they be an RMA, saying, hey, we want this to go on to the WETIP and we start that reward process. I don't need an answer, but just something to think about. Do we need to formalize that with RMA? And same would go for the country club. I think we just need to have it formalized. So when we have something this on the weekend or whenever it happens, staff knows, hey, we can activate this in a more timely manner than several weeks coming out going, oh, hey, we're going to talk about it. So if we could just put that on the to-do list. Thank you.
That will go on the list. Thank you.
January 25th, 2022, attempted burglary at the Go 4 Pizza outside the gates. CSD responded and notified the Sheriff's Department for the victim. The suspects broke off a lock to the storage unit in the rear of the restaurant. The suspects in the location, however, nothing was removed. There's no video footage or witnesses to this incident. January 25th, 2022, there's a grand theft at the village outside the gates. CSD security responded to assist the victim with notifying the CHP of the theft. There's no video footage was recovered of the incident. The victim believed her golf cart was stolen. The victim believed that a universal key was used in the theft. The victim's loss is about $2,000. Our camera footage outside of the village didn't recover anything. So we believe they probably went through the back gate and avoided our camera system. So we have no further information on that theft. But just to highlight some of the things, because of all the thefts in the Plaza area, I'm working with the crime prevention unit to try to do the business watch. I'm also, again, asking them to, for one, contact so I can have feedback on all the information that we've provided. And now through Director Maybe's insight, we'll have a higher meeting with the captain, which is great. I think those things would help serve our community. I've also directed our extra patrol in these areas, especially at night, to hit it really hard and do high visibility. Because even though we have the cameras, which are great at catching some of them, we should be in the game of preventing it from happening in the first place. And if our security forces can be out there and driving around, I wish we had more, but we do the best with what we can. But we're hitting it hard with our extra patrol in these areas. And I think that's it. So is another slide? I think so.
Thank you for the operational report. Continuing on.
I think we talked about this. We had 14 speeding citations. We're going to work a little harder on our stop sign violations.
And I don't know if I agree with your terminology of working harder. I think it's just the consistency of again, how we go about doing it in that coordination with RMA. With them doubling their capacity in the compliance area, their numbers, well, theoretically should be twice the number of ours. So I think it's just, instead of working harder, it's just more of a consistency standpoint, Kelly.
I realize we're going to spring forward in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And once we spring forward, we have more daylight hours. And I think our enforcement should be better, because that's the number one thing I hear all the time is speeding from cars, speeding from golf carts. I hear that all the time. So I hear it from the residents a lot. So I go, well, what else could we do? But the nighttime hours really restrict us. But once the daylight savings time comes in place and we have a LIDAR for night, I think it doesn't necessarily mean more numbers, but more enforcement.
Yes, good call. Good call. And I think that's my point is we just need to get the terminology so we're consistent.
Sure.
Again, it's semantics. When I hear somebody say the district's got to work harder, the district is working hard. We've got great staff. Now it's just what's that consistency and how are we getting that information back out? Very good. Continue on.
I bet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Next. There's no questions. Is our gate entries? With the holidays being over, the number is a little bit down, which makes sense. Okay. Gate entries denied, about the same. Nothing really big, nothing really special here. You can see I what director maybe just said, extra patrol, that was our biggest thing because of all the burglaries and thefts outside. We really did a lot of extra patrol this last month. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's it for me. Questions?
No hands raised in chat.
Okay, with nothing seen. On the public questions or anything. Item number five, and you've touched on it quite a bit, Kelly, discuss recent increase in crime. I don't know if it's a crime wave. I saw someplace that it was stated as such. I can tell you some vile on the social media platforms, again, it's most of it's negative, and it's because people are ignorant to the capabilities and expectations of the district. But at the end of the day, how you just inform the community is what we need. Because again, you know, this is that as we move it forward as a district to either California High Patrol, Sacramento County Sheriff's Department, what's that consistency and how we're trying to move forward. And again, I think you're spot on. The prevention is the most critical point. And if we can get the business group together, that's going to go a long ways for us. And understanding what their needs and expectations are, and can we fulfill more consistently some of those areas. So if you've got more to add to number five, I feel comfortable with it. And again, I'll open it up to the GM, but I think we discussed it pretty well.
Right. And I'm excited about this business watch. And I think there's things that we can do as CSD to help facilitate that. You know, we can go out there and canvas, or I can meet with the owners. We can even host here if we need to. So I think there's things we do that can facilitate the business watch and get them involved, because you have more businesses that are going to be opening up here. So, and that seems to be is outside of the gates. So that could be where you have every opportunity. People just driving through. Like, I believe the Ace Hardware suspect was just driving through. I don't think he even knew this existed. And he just opportunist, if you will. So I think with the business community, I think we could do a little bit with that. And I look forward to working with the crime prevention person I've been talking to. And I think we might be able to get some legwork with them, at least the business part of it.
Excellent. Very good. And again, that's, we're at a point now where your leadership and the leadership of the entire executive team is able to look forward in a direction instead of just handling day-to-day crisis. So perfect. Moving on to item number 6, discuss ABDI Continental Software/Hardware upgrades. I don't know if this is you or the GM.
Tim, before we move forward, I have had a hand raised. Are you prepared to answer questions?
Yes, please.
Go ahead, Richard Gears.
Yeah, this is back on the increase in crime. I was wondering if you had any more insight into what's going on. I mean, it seems like some of this is more professional type crime, not the average juvenile delinquency. And it almost seems like it's pre-planned and not just somebody driving by. So, you know, I'm just wondering if you have any more insight into what's going on.
You want me to answer that?
Yeah, I think that's to you, Kelly, please.
Okay, great. Yeah, you know what? And the 10 different crime, and then the 3 or 4 different crimes are, we can't connect them. And that's the thing when we talk to the Sheriff's Department and the CHP, if they don't have any follow-ups or give us any lead information, it's just speculation. I could just talk about my 25 years in law enforcement in major cities. When I see what I saw on video in the Ace Hardware theft, if you will, you know, there's a suspect, he was with a female, they left and went to Costco. I had just have a feeling that's just an opportunist. He was just driving through and he found that, because he wasn't on any other video from any other crimes. We know the crime with the sighting, with his plate number came back. Well, he lives in North, or he lives in our facility. So that they're not related. And then you had just like I said, just a speculation. And then you had the backyard restaurant. Some people say, come up to me, oh, this must have been an inside job. Someone must have known these were there. But there's no really good video footage of him. But I can say with the video footage I have seen about those 3 crimes, it's not the same person. So that I'm comfortable with to say. And as far as the golf cart incident that was stolen, there is no video whatsoever. There's no witnesses. But the victim says, hey, I have a universal key. Anybody with this key can take it and leave. So, and she didn't notice it was gone for over a week. So we don't even have the specific day and time. With that. So are they related? I want to say just what I've seen from the direct evidence of the suspect descriptions on video, they're not the same people. So that's what I can say.
Okay, that answers some of my questions. I just, you know, there's all this crime. Is it related? And apparently not. But this one where they broke in through the roof, that seems kind of more professional. It wasn't just somebody driving by. But
no, and I've arrested kids that do that. I've arrested people that are friends of the people that used to work there. And so it takes all, I mean, people can go on YouTube. You see high-end burglaries, especially in Los Angeles. They're hitting celebrity houses and they're figuring out how to get into that. So I think there is a degree of professionalism, but like I said, I don't know until these suspects are caught. We just don't know. But one of the things we can do is try to prevention and ask people to put cameras where they don't have any, put lights, put on locks, be aware. And with our high visibility at night and maybe getting the sheriffs out here to do some more drive-bys, that's what we can do to going forward.
No, Kelly, that's a good response. Richard, I think your question is spot on to ask. You know, we're a community that really has been protected purely from time and distance. But that being said, you do have a high amount of traffic passing through this community. So I think as we move forward, it's really, we're going to attempt to build that relationship further with the Sheriff's Department and or CHP and just trying to figure out, are there patterns? Now, somebody taking a catalytic converter, that's standard. I mean, that is, go to the movie theater that, or shopping center, that's the number one place that they're being stolen. So that doesn't surprise me, but I agree with you. You know, we don't want a community, and again, every community is a reflection of society, but maybe this is, and I don't think it's the new norm, but we are having what we anticipated when we have more services available, i.e. businesses, there's more opportunity for these types potentially of crimes to be committed. And I feel comfortable saying that staff is on top of it, looking at this, and really it's coming back to, as we fully implement our camera policy and getting that done, is that our best bet? And I think that's the force magnifier multiplier that we need as a community.
And Tim, can I say two things?
Oh, absolutely, please.
One thing I want to talk about, and I don't want to embarrass anybody that's reported these crimes, but a few of these crimes that I went over, the victims refused to report it to the Sheriff's Department. They did not want to report it. It took a few days of us convincing them to report it to the Sheriff's Department. So I can't say that enough. If you're a victim of a crime, you absolutely should be reporting it to the local authorities. It goes for crime statistics. When they deploy their people, if they see there's an uptick in crime, it gives the Sheriff's Department more power to say, okay, let's put some more resources to it. But I see that time and time again. I've only been here 6 months, and people will not report things. Or they'll say, I only want to report it to security. I don't want to go anywhere else further than that. And that really shouldn't be. If you're a victim of crime, you absolutely should report it. Even if you've left the property unsecure and you think it's your fault, you still should report it. So I just had to say that.
No, you're absolutely spot on. And I know the current deputy chief of operations for the Sheriff's Department, Jim Barnes, has stated the same thing. He knows that there's a percentage, and we have no idea, right? But there's a percentage of underreported crimes, and to what degree the crimes are, couldn't tell you. But at the end of the day, they are underreported. So thank you. Okay, moving on to item number 6. I'm not sure if this goes to you, Tom, or to Kelly.
I talked about it already a little bit earlier. The PAC people have been out to the gates last week, and they're in the final steps of working with the ABDI in Florida to go online. And we hopefully will have that next week, where they will give us the exact dates so we can go online with the new upgrades. But it is it's a slow process, but we are getting closer. And I think with the next week, or by the time I go to the next board meeting of next month, it should already be a done deal.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Okay, taking us to item number 7, staff. Any additional comments, thoughts, please?
I'm gonna say something about what's going on with the security survey that we have, this security opinion poll that we have out there.
Thank you.
Just to see if there's any questions from people listening in right now. So our pollster, True North, sent out 3,000 invitations to fill out a survey we have 5,000 registered voters approximately within the district. So he sent 3,000 letters to registered voters. So far, we've had a great turnout. Over 260 surveys were completed as of yesterday. Yesterday, they also sent about 1,800 emails out, which actually gives people a direct link. They just click on a button. And anyone who'd already completed the survey, those 260, would not have received an email saying, here, you can complete the survey this way. And then the next steps, as they try to fill in all the categories of types of respondents they're looking for, to allow them to give a real scientific analysis of the success or failure of a proposed referendum, they're going to follow up with text message. And then the last step is phone calls. The last time I talked to him, and I'm going to get an update, a verbal update next week, they were hoping to get around 400 respondents. And from that level of response, they felt they were going to have a really good assessment of what the potential for a referendum might look like. So we've had there in the letter that was sent out, it's important to note that they used the registered voter list. So we've got we've had a few comments that said this person's no longer here for whatever reason. But according to the county, that's where they're registered as a voter. So if somebody moved out of the state, moved into another part of the county or moved to another county, they're still listed as a registered voter here at Rancho Marietta. And then the last thing I want to say is that so far they've received about 12 phone calls because the letter listed, if you have a problem filling out the survey, call us. And of the 12 phone calls, 10 of them were just a little bit of issue in typing in the address on the internet. And the other two were also resolved with that phone call. So we have, you know, I know that there's some comments going around out there within the different ways people have participated in social media, but I think I've heard a lot of good comments, and other than, you know, the same opinions that people have had all along, I think this is going in a very positive way, and I expect us to get a really good assessment that we can take to the board in the next month or two about whether or not we need to look at putting a referendum on the ballot next November, this coming November. So thank you for everybody, Kelly's hard work, and the people answering the phones here in the office. I think we're doing very good right now. So those are my comments.
Excellent. Thank you, Tom. I very it's timely.
I've got a hand raised that was raised from the public.
Well, then let's see those hands raised, please.
Okay. Go ahead, Richard Gears.
Okay. This was a question back on item 6 with the ABDI software and hardware. I was just wondering, from a resident's point of view, what are these changes and how it affects us or them?
Well, hey, hang on one second, Richard. Let me ask you, are you asking in totality for the district and everybody, or just specifically say RMA versus the village or that type of thing?
No, I'm just talking from the point of view of a resident. What differences are we going to see?
Oh, got it. Okay. So overall system. So again, Kelly or
yeah. Tom. You want me to handle this or do you want to handle it?
Oh, you go ahead, Tom. Go ahead.
So this, the ABDI system, the district has used for probably 15 to 20 years. And this is considered a major upgrade. It generally, when you buy systems that are this mission critical to like a homeowners association or, you know, could be a hospital with a big parking lot, so on and so forth. You want to keep up to date with the upgrades. And because the district, for whatever reason, over the past 14 years, we didn't keep up with the upgrades. What we expect to happen with this is, and so this is like 3 or 4 different major upgrades in arrears. We expect the gates to be more consistent with opening and closing, that on occasion, the gates quit working correctly. So we have to put a cone up in front of that gate and we have to call for support. And then when we call for support, we expect that the vendor conducting the support can contact ABDI. And because we have current software, they can help analyze it and they don't have to troubleshoot it on their own. We've had many issues with the gates being inoperable for lengths of time, just because our software was so old and the system we were using was 2-3 generations old. So we're expecting better performance. We're expecting better statistics, and we're expecting to have a better control over, you know, keeping track of who's coming and going, who's allowed to come and go based on the barcodes or based upon going through the visitor gate. Does that answer your questions, Richard?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, basically what I'm hearing is from ordinary residents, it's the same system, but it's going to be working better. And you're going to have better use of it or whatever. Yes, that answers my question.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And, you know, Richard, you bring up a good point. And as we get the system updated, it should be able to provide us with some statistical data, if you will, that we can turn around and provide back to the community, i.e. where patrol's been, the time on task, location of the time on task, those types of things, because I think that's really almost mission critical. If you listen to the supervisor of security saying prevention is going to be, and visibility is the key element here, we should be able to tell you, time on task of the district doing that. Now the district can get it done through RMA compliance, contracting with the sheriff's department, but however that's being done, we need to capture that so that we can go back and inform the residents, here's what we're doing. And here's the cost of what we're doing so that everybody understands what's being and what being done and what tasks are being done from that standpoint. And I mean, you heard the general manager, it's long overdue. Shame on prior boards and district administration for not staying on top of it. But that is a task that this board has given the GM to complete, and we're finally getting it done. So thank you. My only comment as a director is Tom and Kelly, continue on. We're at a point now where I think the district is able to see tomorrow and to start figuring out where we need to be on a lot of issues. And again, in this case, it's specific to security, but we're meeting those goals in other divisions, if you will, or departments. So I would just say thank you. Thank you to everybody for that. With that, Amelia, I'm going to, unless you've got any hands or chats for me.
No hands or chats.
Okay. Then I'm going to request that we adjourn the meeting. As always, Amelia, great job on hosting. And everyone have a good day.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, and happy weekend ahead of us.